This nizam that was read is the same thing. It was saying, "Oh student of knowledge, stop sleeping." I think it was written for our madrasa. Ya talib al-ilmi qum. Stand, stop sleeping. This is what I say every morning. Stand, stop sleeping. Qum. La tanam. He says, because time in qada wan saram. Time is passing by very fast. So as long as you live, as long as you are alive, kun baninan bihi. Be stingy regarding time. It's very hard to understand this. Sometimes you'll hear it, and one day, inshallah, it will have its effect on you. One great scholar of Islam wrote the book, Qimatu Zaman, the value of time. He said, those people who learned the value, a time came in their life where if they had an entrance and they had another door, they would always keep one pair of shoes this side and one that side. Someone came and met them, visited them. They said, is this not extravagance? Two pairs. He says, so many times I enter from one side. But then when I have to leave the other side. Now if I have to take out the time to go there and then carry my shoes that side, my time will be wasted. He said, we don't have much time. Now you might wonder, how long will it take to just carry shoes? But he wasn't only looking after that 1 minute. In his whole day he was looking after so many minutes. That later on those people could write kitabs, or they could deliver lectures, or they could make an effort for deen, or they could read Quran. And when you try and work out how much time it would have taken to do this work, and you look at what work he was already doing, and you will say there was no time. But in that no time, he found time. They mention Allah puts barakah in wealth and in time for the people who Allah finds looking after their wealth or the time. Allah puts blessings in wealth or in time for the people who Allah finds looking after their wealth or the time. That is why when a man just spends, later on he'll say there's no barakah in wealth anymore. He just spent. And when a man just like relaxing, he says, I'm looking for the time, waiting for the time to do some work. Time never comes. You'll have to do that work and you will see time will stretch. You'll have to push one work into another work. Hafiz is like that. You have to be in class learning. Then when everybody else is going, you say, wait, give me another 5 minutes. I just want to learn. Now I'm waiting for salah. You see what he's doing? He's just learning again. Now he might say, I'm only learning 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. But when he started looking after his 2 minutes, Allah put so much of blessings in his normal time. But then he started just learning, learning, learning. And he said, I got more than enough time. When you will waste time, you will see Lord time will come with no blessings. When you will look after time, little time will come with Lord. He says, today be clinging to your studies. And be happy with it. تَكُنْ قَائِدًا فِي غَدٍ لِلْأُمَمْ. Tomorrow, he says, I guarantee you, you will be a leader for the people. Tomorrow, you will be a leader for the people. بَادِرْ شَبَابَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. While you are young, he says, rush. Before يَقْطَعَ عَزْمَكَ سَيْفُ الْهَرِمْ. Before the sword of all old age comes. And then you say, I wanted to do this, but now I need to get married. I wanted to do this here, but now I have to work. So many things I wanted to do. He says, before all the ones, while you're young, do what you want. It's an amazing thing in life. When we were in madrasa, we were just waiting for holiday. Just waiting for holiday. In madrasa, we were just waiting to graduate. Then we graduated. Then we stayed in the madrasa to teach, but other friends would come visit the madrasa. He says, you know, now when we went out, we only want to wish, can we come back 1 year to madrasa? Just to study again, because we still don't understand. Just to read again, just to spend time in an environment. He said, we can't, but Now we married, now we have to get wealth for our families, now we have to do this. And he says, now I look for half an hour to read Quran. He says, once upon a time I had 7 hours to read Quran. When I had 7 hours, I never read. Now I look for half an hour, I don't get. Life is life. But the man who looks after his time, and you have to learn it in madrasa. In madrasa, there's a law normally. It's a very hard law, you might not want to hear it. But the truth is always better. They say, in madrasa, whatever you do in your free time, whatever you do in your free time, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala will make you do that later on in life. Scary one, this one, no? Otherwise, this madrasa will check out basketball players. So it's not so hard, but think of this here. So even if a little of your free time, meaning when task time ends, whether it's at night, some people will become jummers. Inshallah, no one will become vapors, you're hoping. So a little bit of time, little bit. Everyone is going to sleep, you took out 5 minutes extra. But remember, Allah only looks for a little. But a little when no one is forcing you, becomes a lot. A little when no one forces you. See, example, you got a worker. Now you know it's time to go. The normal worker, you tell him you work 8 to 5. 5 o'clock is already outside. If he's already outside, it means how you manage to change so fast and you're outside. It means you stopping work at 20 to 5. Then he comes on 8. So he comes on 8 means he doesn't start working at 8. He starts working 20 past 8. Because he comes there, he says, I need to change, I need to go to the toilet. Some boys for class are like, class says, I need to go to the bathroom, I need to go to this. But imagine now you come one day and you find your worker out of time. And he's still busy. And you tell him, isn't it time to go? And he says, no, just 5 more minutes. I just want to finish this work. Then you really feel it. This person deserves the gift. Allah Ta'ala looks at us like that also. That's why nafal gets so much of reward. Because now your farz is done. Now everyone has to run. I don't have to read extra. And no one likes to do extra. And then you get that one person who says, but my Allah likes to see extra. So if I'm going to run now, nothing's going to happen. It'll take me 2 more minutes. Let me make my Allah extra happy. Because remember, when farz is done, the eye of Allah is on all. But when everyone goes, the eye of Allah is on a few. That man who's that few, he becomes very great in life. The man who's the few. All of you must make intention. But Allah will hear it from who He wants to. But you must take out some time. When it is not class, in the weekend you go home, Friday night. Now no one is going to ask you, are you going sitting in class? Now you pull out your Quran. Now that reading by Allah Tabarak Ta'ala gets a different reward. Acceptance is based on the little you will do in your free time. Acceptance is based on the little you will do when no one is forcing you. That gives a lot. Allah gives tawfiq. What we spoke about previously was the adhan, how we should view the adhan, how we should respect the adhan. And in that answering the adhan, how Allah Tabarak Ta'ala opens up the doors of the heavens for us. Now we will come to the masjid. This place is not a masjid, this is a musalla. But you practice it here, then you will practice it in the masjid. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has made a masjid different from a fort. A fort, when you're in the fort, you're protected from the enemy. But when you go out of the fort, you're not protected. The enemy waits outside. So you enter a fort, you're protected. Once you leave the fort, you're not protected. A masjid is different. A masjid, when you enter it, it sprays upon you some spiritual power. Like how a rave club. A rave club, when you enter, they spray on you a drug. So you don't feel that drug. But you'll ask that man, how you managed to dance the whole night? He managed. He never knew he was being pumped with a drug. Then he starts seeing things which he never saw outside. He wonders why I'm seeing it, because now the drug is moving in his mind, in his blood. But if you ask him, did you take a drug? He says no. Ask him, you drank anything? He said, I drank. You have to drink. Everything you drink is spiked. So they're going to push their fill, even if you don't take it directly. That's their club. That's why a masjid is going to blow spiritual power. Even if you just come and you relax in the masjid. You just come, you sit. You're reading a little Quran, you read 2 rakat salah. You needed to read Awwabin. You needed to read Salatul Duha. You just wanted to read Quran. You won't see it in this country, because our houses are always so nearby. In other countries where the masjid is far, you will see a man will come to the masjid and he is not intending going home for a while. So he knows I'll be in the masjid for the next 5 hours. So first he comes, he'll sit in the masjid, he'll relax, he'll talk with someone. When you ask him what you came here for, especially a man or a woman who accepted Islam, they'll tell you, I got no family to go to. They say, my masjid is my spiritual house, spiritual power. Certain masjids wanted to tell the woman, you can't come to the masjid, read salah at home. They said, after accepting Islam, the only power I get is in the masjid. Ramadan time, they said, must I be at home when someone's listening to music? There's no food, everything is haram. I'll come and stay the whole day in the masjid. You ask them, what you get? And they're not even in the masjid. They're outside. They're in their own section. So what you get in the masjid? Don't you get tired? So that's the difference between the one who drinks spiritual power and the one who's not yet drinking. Me and you, when we come in the masjid, after 5 minutes, we get tired. That is why the best place for dars, lessons, was always the masjid. Problem is, a time came where people in the masjid started playing with their phones. So what they're not supposed to see in the masjid, they started seeing it. Otherwise, the best place to learn hifz is in the masjid. What happens in the masjid? It's praise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَسْجِدًا that إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ if ever you pass by the gardens of paradise, he said, don't walk past it, go inside and eat from it. فَارْتَعُوا because a sheep, a goat, if they go past anything that's green, they'll never just walk past. You'll see them immediately turn. And when they turn, they don't stop. They bite little bit here. Then they move there little, they bite. Then they move there little bit, they bite. They're waiting for someone to say, come, come. Then the shepherd comes, the dog comes, then you'll see them going away. But they butt, butt, butt. The hadith says, when you enter into the gardens of Jannah. So his sahabi radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, where are we going to find these gardens? He said, Al-Masajid. Al-Masajid meant you behave like a goat in the masjid, a sheep. So if you enter the masjid, there are many people who will only come to the masjid to perform salah. So they will only come first then. If they're going past a masjid and it's not first then, they'll just carry on. This hadith saying, no, don't do that. You're going past the masjid, just stop. Even if it's not salah then. Go inside, make wudu. Read 2 rakat salah, that's your one bite. Then you moved a little bit, you took a Quran, you started reading, that's your second bite. Then you stood up, you're a little tired now, you say, let me read 2 rakats and then I'll go. As you stood up now, you said, let me make dua, so you sit down again, you start making dua, that's your bite. He said, in that way you'll bite, 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 you would have spent half an hour in the masjid. During that time, that masjid is spraying you, spraying you, spraying you. Muslims of certain countries, early, 10 o'clock in the day, long before anyone else comes, they would enter the masjid. Now they would start reading Quran there. Then they would go and clean a little. In many countries, you don't have masjid cleaners. A man volunteers, I'll clean the masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when the pegs of the masjid become missing, they asked, who are the pegs of the masjid? He said, that man, who whenever he finds time, you find him in the masjid, he's a peg. He says, the day he's not there, the angel says, where's our masjid man? He says, become a peg of the masjid. So you can try that. You must make this place your practice place. That you hear, now you're reading Quran. Now it's time to go, you're a little tired, you say, let me read two rakats. Almost time to go. Because in a gym, you'll see a man. It's time to go. Quarter past, quarter to ten. He says, just two more minutes. I just need to do that one more thing. Then let me just do five more push-ups. Then let me just do this here one more time. And then half past nine becomes quarter two. Quarter two becomes 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock becomes, now I'll go and wash. Quarter past ten. And when he sleeps, next day in class. You know? So he found his garden. Now if you can find that garden in the masjid, you tell the student, come on, out, out now, go sleep. Say, all right, I'm coming now. Just one more page I want to read. One more page. Just two rakats, just leave me for two rakats. That man, when the time of his death comes, the angel will even tell him, it's time to go. And he says, just two more rakats. And the angel will say, no problem. You always push for the two rakats, go for it. Many people passed away in sajda because of this. Because they always wanted to get one last bite from the masjid. I'm just going. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's attachment to the masjid was like this. When he would return from a journey, first place he would go to was Masjidun Nabawi. He would just sit there. People would come visit him. He's there. How are you? How are you? He says, I'm happy to be back home. I'll visit my wives also, but my masjid. That attachment to the masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a man in the morning and in the evening goes to the masjid, إِذَا غَدَى أَوْ رَاحَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. When a man in the morning or in the evening you find him going to the masjid. غَدَى means not fajr time, now after, which means salatul duha, charged between sunrise and zuhr. He's going past, he says, let me just stop and read two rakats. It could be a businessman. It could be a student. He says, let me just read two rakats. It is breakfast time. Breakfast time is the best time to get the two rakats. Either you get it two rakats before breakfast, before lunch. That's right. Never, that's a hard one. Because then in the two rakats, he'll think about, will there be enough food for me? So you go quickly and you eat, but when you come back, you've got 5 minutes left for class. And then you say, Allahu Akbar. No one stops you. That two rakats by Almighty Allah is a very unique two rakats. It comes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Almighty Allah says, O son of Adam, if you give me a little time in that place there, which is from sunrise to zuhr salah, I will see to all your needs of the day. I will see to all your needs. In the time when Afghanistan had just won the war, and the Taliban had risen, one person went to visit a great leader of the Taliban. His name was Mullah Muhammad Umar. So he was sitting there when someone said that at the moment this place needs this and they need that. And as he's listening and they're making mashura, then he looked at the clock. And then he said, okay, right now, finish now. And he went in his room. He would read 12 rakats of salatu, what we call chas salah, awwabi. It's called the salat of the people of Tawbah, awwab, meaning salatu duha. He would read 12 rakats. He said, while he was reading the 12 rakats, this man says, I saw trucks coming. And on the trucks, whatever they were discussing in that mashwara, I saw those trucks bringing it. And he finished his 12 rakats and he said, what happened? And they said, it came. He said, Alhamdulillah. So there are those people who went on the musalla and Allah Tabarakallah gave. You go on the musalla two rakats just before class restarts. And then you lift up your hands and you say, Allah, my mind is not in my hands. It is in your hand. My heart is not in my control. It is in your control. You make very small things very great. You make very difficult things very easy. Can you do for me? Many a person, when they get old, they become pious. A young boy to be pious is something you look at, you get shocked at. But just like how we get shocked when we see a young boy pious, the angels also get shocked. When the angels get shocked, Allah Ta'ala looks at that young child like anything. If you want to be something when you grow up, you must become that unique young person now. So all these extra nafals, which you always felt, it's not for me. Now the hadith say, no, it's for you. Whenever you will pass by the gardens of Jannah, he said, take a bite. Take a bite. Don't just walk past. So scholars have mentioned the meaning of this hadith. When a man in the morning goes to the masjid, or in the evening goes to the masjid, غَدَى أَوْ رَاحَ. And he said, كُلَّمَا غَدَى أَوْ رَاحَ. Every time he enters the masjid, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُزُلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah Tabarak Salah prepares for him some gift in Jannah. Nuzul normally means food. And when your guest is coming, you prepare something. A Tupperware. Your guest is coming. Now the question will be, Allah Ta'ala prepares a food for him in Jannah. But that food is not going to reach us. Because by the time we get to Jannah, there will be new food. So they write that that food doesn't stay in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala in Jannah prepares for him that power that then falls on top of him. Allah Ta'ala prepares for him that power. So every time he enters the masjid from Jannah, focus is made on him, falls. And then from Jannah, focus is made on him, it falls. Which means that every time you enter the masjid, you get a spiritual burst. Then you go out. Remember I said it's not a fort. A fort is where you enter, but as soon as you go out, the devil can hit you. The masjid is such, as soon as you enter, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala in Jannah prepares for you that which will take you to Jannah. But for it to take you to Jannah, it has to then focus on you and fall. So it falls. And you get the first bang from Jannah. It's first splash. Spiritual power. In the evening again you came in the masjid. For this reason, ulama have mentioned, if you understand what's falling on you when you walk in the masjid, all you must do now is have the adab of the masjid. So today we'll mention the first adab of the masjid. There's three adabs. The first adab of the masjid is, realize you in a masjid. And the way to get that there, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, that when a man comes to the masjid, he must not just enter. What must he do? He must make a dua. He must make a dua. That dua's purpose was to take your mind back to, hey, I'm not anywhere. So you say, Allahumma ftah li abwaaba rahmatik. That, oh my Allah, let the doors of your mercy open. Now the door of the masjid is already open. The door of the masjid is open. But when you're making this dua and you're thinking of the meaning, you understanding that between you and Allah's mercy, there is a barrier. And I need that barrier to be opened. Again, listen to it. One man just walks in the masjid. So he won't worry whether he came with the left leg, right leg. He was talking outside the masjid, he'll walk talking into the masjid. Because the door was open. But if the door of the masjid is closed, isn't he'll stop there? And say, where's the muazzin? He say, how do I open this door? That's when he stops. That's when he realizes that I'm outside, I need to get in. Now we got a problem that our masjid door is open. So when he walks, he drove all the way, he parked his car, he walked, he took out his shoes, he made his wuzu, and he just walked in the masjid. Because he never saw any barrier between him and Allah's mercy. This hadith is teaching that there is. So before entering, you must first press buttons. Oh Allah, can you open up the door for me? Now a man who is asking for a door opening, how he behaves? He suddenly, when he presses a bell, he focuses. Because what if the uncle on the inside of the house says, who's there? And at that time he's busy playing with his phone. And he doesn't hear. The other man says, who's there? But he's busy looking at something else. He doesn't hear. He'll never get entrance. Actually, he put his ears closer to see. Are they answering? He wants to get in. This dua was just to teach us the first adab of the masjid. That your behavior from that last point and the behavior of the next point has to be the behavior of a man who knew he was outside something and permission is now given for him to enter into something. You behave. When you were small, your mother would take you to someone's house. Especially if you had to go to that kala of yours who just, she never had children. So she was very particular. That even if the child comes, they mustn't sit on the bed. Because I just made the bed. You get some aunties like that. They have this thing about being so neat that we think they also don't sleep on the bed. They make the bed and they sleep on the floor. Because they can't see anything out of place. Like. Now when children come to visit them, for other people, children are like Jannah. For that auntie, children are like Jahannam. She sits there and she's just looking. There was a great scholar. Allah had given him this tabiat. He just couldn't manage anyone irritating him. Perfect. But he was a very pious person. Very pious. So the sultan of that era wanted to meet with him. Normally when the sultans come, then they'll give you a hadiah also. So he sent a message that I want to come meet you. He said, I don't want to meet you. The sultan begged that I need some. Can I make your khidmah? So he said, best khidmah is don't come. But the sultan wanted dua. So finally it was agreed and they told him that, see, he's very, very sensitive. So whatever you do, rather don't do anything. Just sit, don't move, don't talk, don't look around. Anything irritates him. Just sit there, talk, and then stand up and go. So he entered, he sat. Now he's a sultan in the ending. And this wali of Allah, who's very like sensitive, he's just like looking at him, like, what you want? So he said, how are you? He said, good. Alhamdulillah. So you get tired after that, isn't it? So then you start looking around. Now that irritated him. Looking around my house. So now the sultan started feeling hot. Because he is used to a nice big house. He started feeling hot. So he said, can I get some water? So he said, okay. Now he's waiting. Where he's going to get water? Eh? So then he looks at him and says, there's a cup there. Look at the water. So the sultan stood up, he went, he filled up the cup. When he drank, now after he drank, he never put the cup how it was first. That was the end. Like. He never put the cup there. And this wali just started getting. And then the sultan said, Hazrat, is there any khidmat I can make? He says, please, you've done enough. Best just leave now. So what did I do? He said, how did you put the cup like that? He was like that. This wali of Allah, Allah Tawarukala, then inspired him. Most likely in a dream. Everyone waits to see a dream who they must get married to. But what about if your dream shows you a woman you don't want to marry? Like a nightmare. He saw a dream to marry one girl. But that girl was a girl no one would ever marry. Because she was just like him. Or even worse. Just like him. In the dream he was told, you marry her and we'll make you famous in both the worlds. And he married her after that. How he managed after, I don't know. Even his own murids could not manage this auntie. And we can understand what she was when she was with him. That when he passed away, in his wasiyat he wrote that none of my murids must ever think of marrying my wife. He says, because this is such a woman, when she will open her tongue, it will make you so angry, you will whack her. And I don't want anyone hitting my wife. So don't marry her, just leave her. When you send some money, just don't go close to her. But he lived with her. So sensitive, so sensitive. Now imagine your mother takes you to an auntie's house like that. So before entering, she says, behave. Please behave. If you don't worry of the auntie, you're not going to bother. But if they tell you that this auntie is not an easy auntie, she don't like too much noise. But I tell you one thing, before you leave, this auntie will look in your mind and she knows what you need and she'll get it. That's why your mother took you there. Otherwise, who will visit an auntie who don't like children? Now you behave like an angel. Because you understand at the end of the visit, I'm going to get something which is unique. You'll enter, you'll sit. That biscuit is there, but you won't take that biscuit. Because you know when I'm leaving, I'll get Lord biscuits. Lord biscuits came today, I saw, no? Lord. So then how you behave? If you know you're getting something from an auntie, now when you reach the masjid, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I ask you to make one dua. Oh Allah, open the door which is a barrier between me and your mercy. Allahumma ftah lana abwaab rahmatik. Just that part of the dua. Allah, open for us the doors of your mercy. And then enter the masjid. But just think of the meaning next time you enter. That dua was meant to tell you, you're not outside now, you're inside. But because you're inside, behave. And if you behave, what Allah is preparing for you in Jannah is going to start falling. It will find you in that corner, it will find you in that corner, it will find you there. Behave. But. Now you might say the environment is hard, but to behave in a masjid so long, said behave. Try. Now don't run around and play. Go sit there a little bit. Go sit there. You just have to bite a little. Read two rakats there. Go read some Quran there. Do that. And leave the masjid. When this will become your habit. That I go to the masjid frequently. Someone will say, out of salat, what you entering the masjid? You will say, like how a wife sometimes prepares fruit for the husband. And then she messages him and says, you don't want to come for 5 minutes. I made something. I got a little key and I made some scones, it's fresh. So quickly, 5 minutes he runs. Allah Tawarukala also prepares sometimes fresh. For that servant of his who's ready to run in the masjid, quickly read two rakats and he's out again. So Allah Tawarukala said, I just prepared it now for you, take it. This habit the people don't have in the world. For everyone it has become masjid is for the 5 times salah. And when there's no 5 times salah in South Africa, you hardly find anyone. In other countries when I visited, you don't ever enter the masjid except that there is someone in the masjid. They made it like their house. That whenever my work gives me 5 minutes, 10 minutes, where are you going? I'm going to the masjid. Go to the masjid now, what salah? He says, no, just to spend time in the masjid, read some Quran. They learn Quran in the masjid. Nafal salah in the masjid. Just contemplating on the greatness of Allah, thinking of Allah in the masjid. They would say, because I got 10 minutes free time. If I leave my 10 minutes free time in the market, I will get involved in haram. I'll go to the masjid. When he goes to the masjid, Allah gives him something. Because where will a man ever come to Allah And Allah won't give him a gift before he leaves. So he comes, Allah gives him. He takes it, he goes back. He walks out of a fort, but not like a normal fort. He comes in weak, he goes out strong. He comes in weak, he goes out strong. But to get all of this, the first adab of the masjid is, before entering the masjid, what you must do? Make the dua. And the dua is to teach you that you outside, you are now entering something inside. That entrance must make your whole manner change. This was the first lesson Shah Waliullah Rahimullah gave of from the adab of the masjid, why we were taught, Allahumma iftah lana abwaab rahmatik. Allow this door for me to open. So my whole attitude now from outside changes because the door opens. And now I just get a little bit up. And now I walk into the mercy of Allah. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's make zikrullah. One purpose of zikrullah is for the same, to teach us how to be from a normal person different. That I'm joking with my friends, then suddenly I think of Allah. Nabi Salsam was like that. They say he used to be with us like a normal person. And then suddenly he would hear the alarm. And then he was not with us at all. He was like he's someone totally different. Meaning when the word Allah would be mentioned, his whole attitude would change. When we make zikrullah, naturally your attitude is supposed to change. Some people can make zikrullah and even in their zikr they don't think of Allah. That's why we got it very short. We want to teach ourselves that when we hear the word Allah, immediately I must immediately come to Allah. I must pull myself away from the world and I must find only Allah in me. So one muraqabah scholars gave was this, that you are going to vacuum the entire world out of your heart as you say La ilaha, like a vacuum. And then you're going to say illallah as though you're pushing Allah into your heart. Got it? Let's try. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you will make one dhikr of the word Allah. In the same that my heart is like now an open field. It is ready for something to be planted. According to the seed that I plant, I am going to see the tree growing. Many people in the world, they plant the seed of hope of the dunya. The world will give me this, the world will give me that. When the tree from the seed of the world has ever grown, it always came with rotten fruit. Now I find myself planting within me the seed of the word Allah. And Allah is full of barakah. But Allah Tabarakullah says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Sometimes speak about Allah's name because تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ. That you know how much of barakah is in the name of your Allah. So we take in that seed of Allah and we planting it. And Allah has told us there's a lot of barakah in it. A lot of barakah means it only gets stronger, it only gets bigger. I am planting the seed of the word Allah in my heart. Allah Jalla Jalalu, Allah, 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 Allah. Times salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because all goodness comes to us by thinking of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and by asking Almighty Allah to be happy with him. So we will read a short durood, which is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. 10 times we will read this. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد 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 10 times استغفر الله 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 لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وموس رحيم الله موس كريم الله make us from amongst those who respect every shi'ar of yours Allah make us from the pegs of the masajid Allah make us connected to the masajid Allah, let us be that person on the day of Qiyamah. رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ That there was a man whose heart was connected to the masjid. When he was in the masjid, he enjoyed it. When he was out of the masjid, he waited for the chance to go back. Allah, let it not come to us when we become old. Allah, bless us with this gift while we are still young. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ